At a high level, what do you make of the recent algorithm updates?
It seems to me like a lot of small sites have been getting hit and content-based sites. So I guess more specifically, sites that are specifically designed to get traffic from search. Lots of sites that have been monetized with either display ads or affiliate links have really been, I think, would have been hit the hardest. Sites that don't really have a product or service and more are just content-based sites. And definitely, I think, smaller sites in terms of both domain authority and organic traffic before the updates have been the ones that have been seem to be hit the hardest.
Hi, and welcome to the Optimize Podcast. My name is Nate Matherson, and I am your host. On this weekly podcast, we sit down with some of the smartest minds in content marketing and SEO. Our goal is to give you perspective and insights on what's moving the needle in organic search. Today, I'm thrilled to sit down with Dave Rathmanner. You might remember Dave. We had him on the podcast about a year ago. And as far as I'm concerned, he's one of the best in SEO. If I've got an SEO question, I go to Dave. Know that Dave is an SEO consultant who's also building a portfolio of his own websites in some really interesting categories and spaces, like, for example, gambling. And we're going to talk about his website and others on this week's episode. Dave and I go deep into algorithm updates, helpful content. We really get into the weeds. You may have listened to some recent podcast episodes where we kind of casually talked about helpful content and we kind of casually talked about the March algorithm update. But in this episode, we go real deep. And this episode of the Optimize Podcast is brought to you by Positional. If you don't know by now, my name is Nate, and I'm one of the co-founders of Positional. And we just launched our toolset publicly in late March. That means that you can go to positional.com and sign up for our toolset and play around. We've got a trial. We'd love for you to check out our tools for keyword research, internal linking, content optimization, and we've even got a couple tool sets for analytics as well. And you can check it out at positional.com. Dave, thank you so much for coming on for the second time, the Optimize Podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Nate.
So the first question I usually ask all of our guests is, how did you get into the world of content marketing and SEO? But given we asked you that question already about a year ago, we're not going to start there. And instead, I'm going to ask you, Dave, it's been almost a year since we've had you on the Optimize Podcast. What the heck has been going on in SEO since we last chatted?
Yeah, so thanks again for having me. I think the obvious answer is the round of updates that have happened since early September 2023, the helpful content update, and then a series of updates since then, with the most recent being the March core update that has really taken out a lot of sites. Almost, you know, 90% plus drops since September. I've seen sites that I've worked on drop like that. And there's tons of examples online. So I think that's really the main thing that's happened in SEO, I would say, since I've last been on. And yeah, if you're on Twitter or X, there's ton of chatter about the updates, and excited to dive in today.
Yeah, I've gotten a little frustrated with X lately. I would say the last few weeks, because everyone is just complaining. And I'm so sick of the complaining that has been happening on X, and not as much on LinkedIn, but there's just been a lot of SEO complainers, I feel like, over the last few weeks. But we all need to remember that, like, Google is a platform that we are building on top of. And so they don't owe us any favors. At the end of the day, we need to create helpful web pages for their searchers. And it's really up to them to determine what is helpful. And I have to ask you, like, you know, at a high level, what do you make of the recent algorithm updates?
It seems to me like a lot of small sites have been getting hit, and content-based sites. So I guess more specifically, sites that are specifically designed to get traffic from search. Lots of sites that have been monetized with either display ads or affiliate links have really been, I think, would have been hit the hardest. Sites that don't really have a product or service and more are just content-based sites. And definitely, I think, smaller sites in terms of both domain authority and organic traffic before the updates have been the ones that have been seem to be hit the hardest.
Well, I want to pack into each of those observations here in a minute, because before this recording, you and I chatted a little bit offline, and I know that you've done some digging and you've put together some analysis as a way to try to better understand the websites that have been negatively impacted as a result of this algorithm update and these algorithm updates. So I'm excited to dig into the details. But before we get into the details of what you're seeing, I have to ask, have you seen a single site that has been negatively impacted by the helpful content or March core updates actually bounce back in this time?
I have not. That's a big talking point on Twitter. You'll see everyone talking about how there hasn't been a single site that's recovered that was hit in the September update. I was one of them, and I'm sure a lot of other people were hoping with these March core updates that they'd see a recovery from getting hit in the September helpful content update and maybe some of the later updates. But yeah, I haven't seen a single one bounce back. I was hoping that during the September helpful content update, I think they said it was a classifier that was on a page level basis. Your site might be marked as... In the September update, they said the helpful content classifier was a domain-wide signal. So essentially, if you got this classifier placed in your site, your entire site was suppressed in terms of rankings. And with this March update, they were planning on switching that to a page-level signal and kind of baking it into the core algorithm. So I saw a lot of people on Twitter saying, oh, they must not have switched to the page level classifier yet. And we're hoping that towards the end of this update in April, that would happen and we'd see some recoveries. But I haven't seen any signal of that switching. Haven't seen any recoveries yet.
So it sounds like Google tried to cast like a broad brush on websites to say like this website is either helpful or it's not. And that's like the site level classifier that they've applied as a result of the September update. But then what you're saying is that some SEOs have speculated that Google would be moving from like a site level classifier where just like everything has gone down to like an independent page by page classifier where, you know, some websites might have helpful content, but then other parts of their websites would not be considered helpful content. But it sounds like that hasn't happened yet, or at least we haven't seen any websites recover in that type of a way where part of their websites bounce back. Is that right?
Yeah, I haven't. I know Google, when they announced the March update, announced what I just described and you just described with them switching it to a page level classifier. But yeah, I haven't seen any signs of that happening. You think if something switched there, you'd see a bit more, at least hopefully some more upward movement of parts of the site. But yeah, haven't really seen that. So not sure what's going on, but yeah, no sites hit by the September update that I've seen have bounced back yet.
So I want to go through some of the potential causes of drops as a result of the recent updates. And we're all just speculating here, but it might be a good exercise for us to do some speculation as to why some websites would be classified in such a way or why some websites have dropped. And you'd send me over a list of a few things that you wanted to talk through. And so what we're going to do is go through each of them one by one. Does that sound good?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So that first item that you sent me, a reason why a website might have dropped as a result of these updates was... SEO-focused websites where the majority of their content is designed to get traffic from search. What did you mean by this?
Yeah, so kind of what I was explaining earlier, if your website is primarily made and designed to publish articles and get traffic from organic search. That could be a negative signal that Google is picking up on and kind of not penalizing you for, but maybe not giving you as much visibility as you'd hope for. So this kind of ties into some of the other points, but you know, if you think about a business that isn't a content focused site, they might have a product or a service and have a blog or produce articles on the side as a way to get readers and maybe drive them to that product or service. But these sites are more, the entire site is just about the content, and it's monetized with affiliate links.
Yeah, so what you're saying here is like the websites that have been most negatively impacted, at least something that you've observed, is that they don't have like a core product or service. They really just exist to drive traffic from organic search. Is that right?
Yeah, I would say so. And I think another thing I've noticed, some sites that have been getting hit by these updates might have a product or service, but it's either not featured prominently on the site. You might have to like dig around the site to find it, or it's just like not the main part of the site or the business in general.
You know, I've heard this theory before, and I actually was looking at this one website that was negatively impacted. It's like a hair loss review site. And the guy, we're not going to name any domains here, but he added like a coaching service as part of his website, like a hair loss coaching service to like coach you to grow your hair back as a way to like pretend to Google that there was more here than just like a content affiliate site, that there was an actual service to get your hair coached back into your head. Do you think Google can like see through that and say, okay, this is not actually a real service?
I'm not sure. I know somebody was joking about how you just have to add to cart button on your affiliate site and you'll start ranking well, because Google will see it as an e-commerce site. And I think Danny Sullivan commented on that one and said, that's not going to help. Don't do that. But I mean, I think at this point, if your traffic's down 90%, it's worth a test. Yeah, I think making your site look like something other than just a content site could help.
Well, usually when Google says not to do something, it's something that we should at least consider. The next point you gave me as you're in your list of potential reasons for the drops, point number two was sites that are over-optimized for SEO. How does one over-optimize their website for SEO?
Yeah, I think things like, you know, including the header or the main keyword in every H2 on the page, really trying to like fit in every related keyword that you want to rank for onto a page. I've seen some people speculate that too high of a proportion of exact match internal link anchors could have an effect, which I'm not sure I buy that, but that's maybe an example of something else that could be over-optimized. Yeah, things like that. Things that if you were writing the article for, say, for your buddy and you're just shooting him an email, you wouldn't think to include.
Well, we did have Cyrus Shepherd on the podcast a couple months back, and he did find that variance in anchor text was actually quite natural. Like often websites would have exact match, partial match, no match, naked internal link anchors. And so the characteristics of an unoptimized website would have a lot of variance in internal link anchor text. And so I guess in theory, if Google sees a website with like heavily optimized internal link anchor text, that could be a signal that would suggest that they're trying to over-optimize for SEO. The next point you mentioned was that another reason a website could have dropped is that the site is overloaded with ads or affiliate links. And I have seen some speculation that like affiliate sites were targeted in these updates. What do you think there?
I definitely think Google can pick up on what's an affiliate link. I know we've speculated on this for years, if that could have an effect on rankings, but it definitely seems like affiliate sites have gotten hit a lot harder than other types of sites in this update. So I think that could make sense. I think there's, you know, a time and place for affiliate links, and obviously you have to monetize your site somehow. But when sites are, you know, just have ads every couple scrolls, you know, big tables, maybe comparing products that aren't really related to the page, or, you know, just jamming affiliate links or display ads wherever you can in the page, creating a subpar user experience. And then also, even if the ads do fit in well, kind of just maybe coming off as unnatural to Google, similar to the over-optimizing for SEO, but yeah, just too many ads.
There's definitely a place for affiliate links on the internet. There has to be, I think, but like, I guess at the same time, like these affiliates, like the people who are paying websites to provide affiliate links to them could also just be bidding on Google ads, right? And so like in theory, if they get less traffic from their affiliate publishers who are ranking in search, maybe it forces them to spend more money with Google. Is that like a conspiracy theory, or is it possible?
I think it's possible. I've seen people talking about that a lot too lately. I think there's a lot more brands showing in search results currently than before these updates. So just as an example, my one site, Odds Assist, reviews sports betting, sports books, casinos, things like that. And I've noticed for a lot of like bonus keywords, so you might type in FanDuel bonus, instead of seeing, you know, 10 affiliate links, or maybe FanDuel once and then 9 affiliate sites, it'll be, you know, 3 pages from FanDuel taking up those first few spots. So I think as a part of that, it's, you know, brands getting ranked higher for keywords related to them than getting ranked higher and more pages ranking.
Yeah. Something that I struggle with is like, there could be a lot of like correlation here. Like, for example, companies that don't have a product or service, or I should say websites that don't have a product or service, might just naturally be creating lower quality content. Also, like websites that monetize through affiliate links just might also be naturally creating less helpful content. And also, websites that are over-optimized for SEO might just naturally be creating less helpful content. So it might not be that Google is like targeting any one of these things. It's just like you said, like these things have the characteristics of websites that maybe are not as helpful. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's some sort of site that Google doesn't want showing in search results as much after these updates. And there could be some sort of pattern matching that they're doing that says, okay, if, you know, a site has these characteristics or these things on it, then there's an X percent chance it's unhelpful or something we don't want to show, so we're going to suppress it in search results.
Because we need to remember, like, Google is not manually reviewing every one of our websites. And like, I heard Danny Sullivan speak at the Brighton SEO conference in San Diego, and he was talking in regards to EEAT, and he was saying that like Google's algorithms try to understand the characteristics of your website that would mean that they are a high quality site because they share in characteristics of other similar high quality sites. And so in theory, like adding an author bio to your website isn't going to move the needle on a page, but maybe that helps the algorithm understand that like your website could be a high quality one. And I guess the same could be said with some of these characteristics, that if your website has these characteristics, you might have really helpful content, but the algorithm would associate it to other websites that maybe don't have helpful content. And so your website maybe could be getting unfairly bucketed with like bad neighbors based on some of these characteristics. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that's pretty feasible. it's hard to say if that's exactly what's going on, but I think even Google might not know exactly what's going on. They have a lot of machine learning parts of their algorithm that could be kind of doing that bucketing that you described, and could be a reason that a lot of legitimate sites have been getting dinged when, in my opinion at least, I think it's pretty unfair.
Yeah, you know, you see people complain on Twitter like, hey, my website's great, why did it get dinged? And but like, I guess we also have to remember that Google doesn't care about any one given website. Like, they're probably okay with, you know, I know they've said that through these updates, like there's been a 45% reduction in unhelpful content. And, you know, maybe they've accidentally removed like 5% of websites that are actually considered helpful as a result accidentally. But if like the net gain is positive for searchers, then they're probably okay with like some amount of slippage in that, like, it's okay if we accidentally demote some publishers that are actually pretty good. Would you have to think that?
Yeah, I think so. I think if the ultimate goal, which I'm not sure it is to improve the search results, then yeah, they'd be looking at the kind of net gain instead of, you know, making sure that, you know, random blog XYZ doesn't get hit, even though it's a good site.
I have to ask, there's so many counterexamples here though, too. Like, for example, like Forbes. Like, I think you could argue that Forbes is filled with ads. It's actually impossible to navigate if you don't have an ad blocker turned on. I think that Forbes is over-optimized for SEO. And I think that Forbes, the majority of their content is designed to get traffic from search results. So like, how does like Forbes make it through this like unscathed?
I think it's all just domain authority and like brand recognition. I think that's the one thing that kind of overpowers a lot of this stuff. Brand recognition, domain authority. I haven't seen many big sites getting hit, at least not like the small sites I've looked at. But there's I forget what they're calling it, but the update in May, I think it's like May 5th, so about a week away, where they're supposed to be penalizing some of the site reputation abuse and things like that. So we'll see. Maybe Forbes will get hit, and some of the other big sites that are writing about categories they have no business writing about will finally get whacked. But I'm not optimistic.
I'd spoken to one of these large publishers, not Forbes. But by the way, Forbes, if you're listening, feel free to come on the pod, because we've talked about you a few times on the Optimized podcast. I'm sure you're creating great content. But anyways, I was talking to a publisher the other day, like similar in characteristics to a Forbes, and they joked with me, like laughingly, we could publish any web page on our website and like the content could totally suck. It doesn't matter. And we're going to rank in the sixth or the seventh spot within 30 minutes for any keyword with any type or piece of content we create. It could be total garbage, is what they said. And they would still rank on the first page. And I said to them, well, that must be really exciting, but like, you have to think Google knows that too, that like these publishers are now aware of their like supreme ability to rank and have now no incentive to create great content.
Yeah, I always joke, it must be nice to be the SEO person at Forbes or US News. I feel like it has to be one of the easier SEO jobs. But yeah, I mean, we'll see with this upcoming update how things change. I think Google's aware of it. It might just be, I guess, I'm not sure why, but difficult for them to figure out how to incorporate that into the algorithm when their brand is so big and such a kind of household name, and they've, I don't know, probably like a 90 plus DR. So
we're about halfway through this episode of the Optimized podcast, and I just want to give a special shout out to our sponsor. You might have guessed, positional.com. Check out their awesome set of tools for content marketers and SEOs. And now back to the podcast. I want to ask you like a theoretical question here. But first, I want to ask you a more tactical question. So with this classifier that Google is rolling out, do you know, is this classifier, this helpful content classifier that they're putting on websites, is it like a real-time classifier, or does it roll out in batches? Do you know?
Before the September helpful content update, I think there was maybe two or three more that we didn't see as a whole like much movement from. Definitely not like it was in September. So I think with those two, and then in September, it was more of, okay, they've run the update and certain sites get this classifier. And then, but with the March updates, they said they were baking it into the core algorithm. So I think now at any time you could get this classifier put on your site, or I guess put on certain pages on your site. And then Google's also said it can take months to recover if you have this classifier site on your site, but we haven't seen any since the September update. So also skeptical of that. It's a pretty disheartening when you get whacked and there's not any examples of anyone recovering. Makes it feel kind of hopeless. But
yeah, well, so it sounds like the classifier should be like actively rolling out then to new websites too. Do you think that's right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, because I'd seen some SEOs like speculate on Twitter that like now is the best time ever to start a new website because you didn't get the classifier. So like you're in the green. Like it's going to be smooth sailing from here. And like now is the golden age to be starting like niche affiliate sites because they're free and clear of any like previous baggage. Do you think that makes sense? Like, does it make sense to start a brand new website that could be free and clear of this classifier? Or does it make sense to just try to remove such a classifier from an existing site?
I definitely wouldn't advise anyone to just start a new site. I think you probably have some sort of like grace period while Google, you know, tries to learn your site, understand what's going on, and see how users interact with it in the search results. So I think, you know, maybe if you start a new site, you'll have 3 months or 6 months or however long it is. And then eventually, if you're going to get that classifier put on your site, it's going to get put on your site. So me personally, I'm just trying to fix up my sites that got hit and go that route instead of, you know, starting a brand new site. I've seen people say you could launch a new site and just 301 your old site and that'll fix everything. But I think it's the same case. It might work for a few months and then you'll be back to where you're at now.
We just need to keep like 301 redirecting our site to a new domain every 2 months and that should work. I bet you can buy the whole course on how to do that for $4.99.
Nonstop 301s.
Yeah, how to get through the helpful content update by the 301 scheme. And again, we're not recommending to our audience that this is something you should do. We're just kind of jokingly brainstorming here. But if any listeners do actually 301 their helpful content hit site to another place and it works, please let us know. We'd love to hear about it. One other thing that you and I have chatted quite a bit about lately is information gain. That's like another popular phrase going around Twitter lately. What is information gain and what are SEOs saying to do as far as information gain?
Yeah, so how I look at it is if you're basically contributing anything new to Google's index of pages for a topic. So, you know, I know a lot of people's SEO strategies is look at the top 10 results and, you know, see what they write about and make sure you cover all of that. But I think information gain is taking it a step further and seeing what else you can contribute, something unique. Maybe it's your own personal experience or data from your customers or, you know, something, some angle that people that are ranking currently don't take. So I think that's kind of how I'm thinking about content creation now. what can we do to take it a step further and provide something different and unique than what's out there.
Yeah, you know, that's what I've been thinking a lot about lately too. Like, how can we tell a unique story with our webpage? Like, you know, Mike Haney was on the Optimized podcast like 6 months ago, and he said his bar for a new piece of content is, what is my content adding to the internet? And if they can't answer that question, like about what their page is adding to the internet, they don't go out and create that page. And then also we had Dwayne Hogan on the podcast a few weeks back. And he actually had this really interesting approach to information gain. He was essentially using like ChatGPT prompts to like find and like access information contained within PDFs and PowerPoints that like wouldn't otherwise be included in top ranking SERPs, and then trying to find a way to inject that information into his content in theory to like make it more unique and get information gain. But yeah, to your point, like there are many different ways that we can create information gain. It could be your unique experience. It could be some interesting data that you have that no one else has. It could be doing like research, like a journalist, and going out and asking for quotes and, you know, expert takes that like you had to source on your own. So yeah, I think I agree fundamentally with this concept that like information gain is important. But you know, if we take our SEO hat off for a minute, I guess you could argue that information gain is probably more helpful for anyone who's reading an article on your website, regardless of what Google thinks about it, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't like include sections of an article just to try to, you know, add information gain. I'm not sure what like the proper terminology is, but I wouldn't do that. I think the end goal should be to create the best piece of content. And, you know, if that means maybe not adding something new, but communicating it in a better way or including graphics or things like that, that's still the top priority. Yeah, I think every article doesn't need a unique spin. But maybe in that case, you think like, okay, if I can't add anything unique here and everyone ranking has more authority than me, then maybe you don't create that article or deprioritize it.
Yeah. And I know you've done some analysis into sites in your industry that have dropped and spiked after the recent algorithm updates. Are there any other like, you know, one or two kind of key core insights that you've had that you could share from that analysis you've done?
I came across a unique one today that I hadn't seen before. So there's a few sites in the sports betting category that their homepage and the pages that their homepage link to are primarily about some other kind of related topic, but maybe adjacent to sports betting. Say like esports, for example, the homepage might be all about esports tournaments and esports players or results and things like that. And then they have a link to the betting part of their site. And we go to that, it's a completely different menu. The focus of the site changes quite a bit. And I don't know if that's a good strategy, maybe something worth testing, but I thought that was really interesting. Kind of having two separate sites almost on your domain, the homepage showing one thing and then, you know, the side part of your site that's getting a lot of traffic to pretty promotional pages.
That's interesting. Like they're almost trying to like disguise what their website is or how it actually makes money from away from the homepage.
Yeah, maybe that's something else that will get hit in this upcoming update. It's kind of similar to like what you'd see on Forbes or US News, maybe, where, you know, their homepages show one thing and then they have a whole different section of their site. So yeah, I'd wait till next update rolls out before trying it, but just an interesting observation I saw a couple sites doing, and I'm sure it's intentional.
That's an interesting one. I think Google would probably argue that that's probably not best for the searcher if the core of their website, their homepage, was very different than the content pages that existed on that website. But would these also be websites that have like very high domain authority? So they could also probably get away with a lot more in that regard?
Not really. I think of the few I found, you know, one's pretty low DR, maybe in the 30s, and the other two were in like the 50s or so. So yeah, I was pretty shocked to see it. Once I like realized what they were doing, I was like, wow, like that's a interesting strategy. And it could have just been that they took an existing site that was actually about what the homepage showed and then, you know, just tacked on affiliate content to a subfolder as a way to make money. So maybe they were legitimate sites to start.
But now that they've got like affiliate content about gambling, they're not a legitimate site anymore.
Maybe not legitimate's not the right word, but non-affiliate sites.
Yeah. I'm trying to think about how we write like a uniquely helpful piece of content with information gain about, you know, FanDuel sports book bonuses. Like it'd probably be quite hard. Like maybe you could try to tell a personal story about this one time you got like a FanDuel sportsbook bonus and you hit it big and it changed your life and it allowed you to like get the kidney transplant that you could otherwise not afford. And so, but I imagine that in some of these keywords, it's just actually quite challenging to create unique or helpful content that has information gain. So then maybe it just does become a game of links.
Yeah. Like we talked about, I think the higher DR sites have been winning or at least less impacted by these updates. But in that example specifically, you know, you could maybe go into like the best way to use that bonus to maximize your profit or chance of profit. I have another example related to sportsbooks. So we work with an odds API provider that supplies us with an API that gives us real-time odds at all the sportsbooks. And one thing we worked with them on was to get them to pull historical odds for like 7,000 games or something like that. And with that, we were able to calculate essentially how much of a cut they're taking from each bet. So we could use that data in our content and say, okay, FanDuel is the best odds. They're taking the least amount of cut. This sportsbook has the worst odds. And I think that's something that I haven't seen anyone do, at least a data-backed way. Sometimes you'll see like people will say, oh, like you'll typically see these kinds of odds, but having like that data, I think, is one way that at least we're trying to add some information gain to our content.
Yeah. Have you seen any other interesting characteristics besides like, I know you mentioned like the homepage experience being very different than like the core actual product experience on the site or in the blog. Have you noticed any other characteristics that you'd find interesting for sites that have done well?
I've seen sites that have forums do really well. You know, of course we've seen Reddit and Quora go up a lot, but yeah, sites that have forums, not the whole site itself isn't a forum, but they have a part of their site. I think that's interesting. Maybe one that's a bit harder to, you know, implement and get to work because you need users to go to that forum and post for it to do anything. But don't have a lot of data on this, but anecdotally, I've seen review sites that allow readers to leave their own reviews have been doing pretty well. I've seen a few sites like that, where pretty much it looks identical to any other affiliate site, but has some UGC component to it.
Oh man. Well, the SEOs listening to this podcast are now going to like go spin up forums. Like I've heard like back in the early days of Reddit, like they were like 90% of the forum activity, like just talking with themselves back and forth with like multiple different accounts. So I hope that like no one spins up a forum and it's just like having phantom conversations with themselves across a lot of different accounts to show Google that they are a forum. But Someone's probably trying it.
Add a couple AI bots and let them talk all day.
Yeah, just have them go back and forth all day long in the forum. But I mean, I guess LinkedIn has kind of done that to a degree. Like they've got like that LinkedIn, like, you know, pulse section or whatever they call it, where like they've got AI generated questions. And then I think a lot of people are responding with AI generated answers. And so, but it appears to be working for LinkedIn. So as far as like domain authority goes, because we've talked about it a few times, what about like websites that have like moderate domain authority? Like they're not like the Forbes of the world, but like they've got like a DR70. Have like those sites tended to like fare a little bit better than like a website that has like a DR of like a 40?
I think so. I don't have a ton of data on that either, but I've seen, again, anecdotally, you know, the higher the DR, the better off they tend to fare in these updates. But I do think I've seen a lot of sites also in that range, or maybe a little lower, you know, 50, 40s, 50s, 60s get whacked pretty hard too. So I think domain authority plays a factor, but if your content isn't really good, or you just have ads everywhere, you can still definitely get hit. And kind of related, I think like brand awareness is also some sort of factor, whether that's branded search volume. So, you know, you could go buy 1,000 links to your site and boost your DR, but that doesn't mean anybody knows about it any more than they did before. So, yeah, I think, you know, branded search volume or some measure of brand awareness, could be playing a factor too.
Yeah, you know, that feels important to me. Like Dave, you and I, you know, we spent some time working on a site together, and we were always like confused as to why we would get outranked by like some of our competitors that had like much weaker like websites from an SEO point of view, but they had much stronger brands. Like they were running, you know, billboard ads and TV ads and radio ads, and I think even back in like 2018, 2019, it felt like Google was starting to get better at identifying like what were those important brands within an ecosystem, and that like those sites, I think we saw often got prioritized above our own where we had a much weaker brand. And yeah, so I know a lot of people have been saying like brand mentions is the new backlink. Like, what do you think about that?
I think it could help. I think probably people searching your brand is a bigger signal, because if you get mentioned and doesn't really result in any more traffic or branded search volume, I'm not sure how valuable it would be. But I think it kind of goes back to the, you know, having a business that just isn't a content site, or at least a content website. I think, you know, there's big brands on social media that also have websites, and I'm sure they get a ton of traffic from people just searching for their website. And I think that's probably a pretty strong signal. So while, like, you know, if you have 10,000 or 100,000 followers on Twitter or X, it may not directly translate to better rankings. I think if that causes people to search out your site and probably spend more time on your site than just someone that comes to your site searching a random keyword would, those could be positive signals that, you know, helps you out.
I'm Dave. We're going to play a game of would you rather. So imagine like you have $100,000 budget and you can use that $100,000 budget to either start a brand new website, or you can use that $100,000 budget to buy an established website that's had its traffic go down by 90% in the last 6 months. Would you rather use that 100 grand to buy an established website or use that 100 grand to start a brand new website?
I guess it really depends on the established site, like how much work it's gonna take to go and clean everything up and do the things I think probably have to do to recover. I guess until we see a site recover from the helpful content update, I guess I'll start a new site. But I do think at some point, I don't know if it's, you know, a month from now or a year from now or longer, Google will tweak things again, and a lot of the sites that got hit will bounce back. So I don't think it's necessarily a bad idea to buy sites that have been hit, but I think it's just, you have to do it knowing that it may take time and may take a lot of work.
You've given us some hope, because you started off your response by saying that we're going to have to do a lot of work. So you do give me some sense or some hope that, like, with that site that's been negatively impacted, there's something that we could do. And you actually kind of touched on my next question, which was, is Google going to flip a switch? And like, if your website's going to bounce back and you didn't do anything differently, I know Google has said they're not going to roll this update back, but do you think that, like, we could all wake up one morning and the sites that were negatively impacted, let's say down 90% or now only down 40%. Do you think that could happen?
I think it's possible. Especially when you think about the sites that have been doing well, a lot of the big publishers that maybe are abusing their site's reputation a bit. If they get hit in this update that's launching next week, there's going to be, somebody has to go up. It might just be more Reddit threads, but maybe that's one way recovery starts. Or if not, I think eventually some signals will get tweaked and at least a portion of the sites will bounce back. It's hard to say, because there's been sites since September that have put in a lot of work to fix up their sites and just continued to get hit in these recent updates. So it's hard to say when or how it happens, but I think eventually sites will bounce back.
So does it make sense for us to, like, try to go out and buy one of these, like, beaten down websites down 90%?
I think if it's a site that you think doesn't deserve to get hit the way it did, then it could make sense, especially if you're getting a really good deal on it. I think there's probably a lot of site owners that are frustrated with Google and maybe can't even, like, pay to, or the site's not making enough to just break even if they're not, you know, producing new content and doing things that cost money. So if you can get a good deal on it and you think it wouldn't be too much work to fix it up and it got undeservedly hit, then I'd say go for it.
Dave, last question I have for you before we go to the lightning round is, what do you make of everyone quitting SEO? I know I've been seeing a lot of tweets on X that people are just done. They're saying SEO is not for me. I'm moving on to Pinterest. Like, is SEO going to get less competitive now that all these folks are seeming to be quitting?
I hope so. As an SEO, it'd be nice if it was less competitive. But I think a lot of people quitting SEO are probably newer to the game. I think anyone that's been around for a couple of years or longer has been through some big updates like these and have recovered or is used to it. I think there may be some people that jump ship, but again, I think it's still early. September was only, what, like, still 7 months ago, and I'd give it some time at least before quitting.
Yeah, you know, we'll see. I might just quit. It's too hard going back to Pinterest.
What do they say? Sell the shovel, not the gold or something like
Oh,
that.
Yeah, yeah, we do sell tools for SEOs these days. I mean, but, like, fortunately, like, most of our customers have not been hit in these algorithm updates, but our customer base skews towards companies with actual products and services. Like, these businesses will exist regardless of if they have an SEO channel or not. Like, SEO is an awesome channel for them, but it's not like the channel that they like if SEO goes away for them, they're still okay. And, like, that would be the characteristics of the websites we work with. And so that kind of also fits the mold of some of the characteristics that you mentioned of the sites that have maybe done a little bit better. At least that's what I've noticed with our customer base.
Yeah, definitely. I work with some startups that are not SEO sites. We do SEO to help drive customers, but it's not the whole purpose of the site. So yeah, I think that's definitely in line with what I'm seeing.
All right, Dave, you ready for the lightning round?
Yep, let's do it.
You've been a guest before, so you know how this works. I'm going to ask you a few rapid fire questions and hopefully get your hot takes on them. The first question I have is, would you take on a client whose website is down 90% in the last 6 months?
I would, as long as they understand and are okay with knowing that it may take a long time for them to recover. You know, I'm sure there's going to be people out here selling recoveries, like, oh, we can guarantee you a recovery in, you know, a month or whatever. And so as long as they understood that it's a long-term project and it's going to take a lot of work, I would.
Backlinks. I think Google said they're not a top three ranking factor anymore or something to that effect. And I think the other day they actually said backlinks don't matter. But my question to you is, would you say that backlinks are a top three ranking factor from your view?
I think they still are. I saw them say that and I'm not sure I buy it. So I still think they are. If they don't want you building links for a reason. So yeah.
If you could have Danny Sullivan on your podcast, which you don't have, in a theoretical world, you've got a podcast and you could ask Danny Sullivan one question, what would it be?
Is he going to answer truthfully? Or is he,
yes,
is he going to actually,
yes,
answer?
Yes, he can only answer truthfully. Like, he can't give you, and he has to be direct.
Okay,
he has to tell,
yeah,
you exactly the answer.
No, it depends. I guess I would ask what the main factors that the helpful content classifier looks at. I think that'd be the question. And I'm not sure, it might be a long answer that says it looks at a lot of factors, but knowing what those are, I think would be a big help. Maybe confirm some of the things we talked about today.
And if a agency promises you, a website owner, that they can fix your helpful content problem, would you trust them?
No, I wouldn't trust anyone that says they can help you recover from the helpful content update and the March update right now. Until we see someone recover, as far as I'm concerned, it's not possible. So I wouldn't trust anyone making any guarantees around them.
Oh, Dave, well, you've been such a great guest. This was a fun episode. We basically didn't have an episode outline. We just riffed for the last 45 minutes, an hour, and I've really enjoyed it. So thank you so much for coming back on the Optimized Podcast. Hopefully we'll have you back in like a year from now, and hopefully the helpful content has reversed for a lot of the listeners. But is there anything else you'd like to say to our listeners?
I guess if you've been hit, keep your head up and, you know, keep work to make your site better. And I think eventually things will turn around. It stinks getting hit by updates, but it's part of the game. And hopefully things turn around soon. Thanks for having me, Nate. It's been fun.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Optimized Podcast. This episode was brought to you by Positional. At Positional, we've got tools for content optimization, keyword research, internal linking, and so much more. We'd love for you to check Positional out at positional.com. And you can always reach out to me too if you have any questions at nate@positional.com.